We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Now back to more of the Ken and Curtis Show on EEI.
The schedule came out last night, and I started salivating when I saw that we play the Patriots in the fourth game of the season, and that we're coming up here to make our record 4-0 after the fourth game. So it's a pretty fun time. We expect to beat the Patriots rather handily.
Wow. Big quotes this week. From Tom Brady Sr. on Zoe and Bertrand on Brand X. Your buddy, Zoe, your former buddy Bertrand, got him to call in. Right, basically Tom Brady Jr. told his dad to call in, I'm sure, and lay that hit piece out, twist the knife a little bit more, continues the theme of Tom Brady burning the bridge since he left New England. But you're fine with it.
And the ease with which you lie is alarming.
But you really, I mean, to be serious, you really don't think there will be any bad blood at all in that game, week four, Bucks coming back to Foxborough, Brady coming back to Foxborough. You don't think there'll be boos. You don't think it'll be controversial in the crowd. It'll just be happy night. Everybody rejoicing.
No. Before the game, all introductions until the kickoff is going to be unanimous positivity towards Tom Brady. Once the game goes and it starts, and you know, if Brady throws a pick, they'll be cheering. You know, they'll be boo. It'll be just like any other game where the Pats want to win and they want to see their opponent lose. And then after the game, it's going to be the handshake, hug scene around the world, and we'll all be talking about that.
Will that be a beautiful thing, or will that be like Bill with a stiff handshake on the way past? Depending on the score. Like, we had a caller in hour one who suggested it's 43-0 Brady. I mean, if that's the case and Bill's embarrassed, he might skip the handshake.
So I have no idea what's going to happen in that game. I don't even know who's going to be quarterback for the Patriots in that game.
Yes, you do. It's Cameron Newton.
Okay. If the Patriots, their schedule is easy, right? First three games, we think at least get two of those three.
I mean, Miami's not easy, but yes.
Right. You're home against Miami, you're favored. Mm-hmm. Then you have
a rookie quarterback with the Jets.
The Jets, and then the Panthers? No.
Is that right? How do I not know this by now?
Anyway, it was three relatively easy games. I think if they are 1-2 heading into that game, and, you know, I don't know what Brady's going to do against the Patriots defense because it's excellent, and you know Belichick is going to do whatever he can. So I don't think it's going to be a huge day for Brady, but I believe that the Bucs defense is going to freaking destroy Cam Newton if he's the quarterback.
Well,
in
Bill
that game.
Bill will ground and pound that game too to try to keep Brady off the field. I mean, obviously,
running against the Bucs was pretty hard last year.
Saints is week three, Miami week one at New York, and then the Saints.
So Tua,
Jameis,
and Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
So yes, if they don't go 2-1 on those three, that's a major stumble to start the year.
Yeah. In fact, if they're 1-2, they're in a horrible spot. You're 1-2, and you got Brady coming in, and you're thinking about pulling Cam, but you're not going to do it. You're not going to put Mac Jones in that spot. But then you might do Mac Jones at 1-3 at Houston. But I can't see them losing to a rookie quarterback unless Wilson's a phenom. I think they would beat Miami, but that's a tough game, despite, you know, Van Noy flipping sides. That is a tough opener.
Yeah, and if you're going to play Brady, you want to play him early in the year. You know, that's generally
sort of
the rule.
But overall, you'd agree, this is a favor to the Bucks. It's not cold weather. And they're coming off the West Coast trip. So it's not
a favor at all.
Well, but the breaking of the record is a favor to Brady. The fact that they gave Tom the ability to break the passing record in front of Belichick, and you were mocking the Saints stopping the game for 15 minutes. You'll be the first one loving every 15-minute break if they would. Obviously, they're not going to do that on the road. But if they if the role was reversed,
no, I hate that. I hate
you
that.
Do?
Yeah, I don't. I have ADHD. Don't stop the effing game. Just keep going. You know, I don't really think that if you really asked Brady if he could play at home at one the week before and not have the passing record on the line the next week when he goes to the Patriots, I think he'd rather that. Flying to L.A. to face that team, which is relatively loaded, at, you know, 4:25 Eastern, you're going to land at 1:32 in the morning in Tampa on Monday, then you're going to be flying up to Boston that next Saturday. That's not an easy back-to-back.
I mean, it's possible, I guess, he could break it in L.A. if he threw for 400 yards for the first 3 weeks, if he had just lit it up.
And if you ask Brady, I bet you there's a part of him just wants to get that over with.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. Come on.
But, like, this debate is over, so it doesn't matter. Like, what you're holding on to has already been decided.
Brady versus Belichick?
Yes, it's over.
Okay.
One season. Everywhere else we've seen the Patriots' way attempted has failed because it doesn't come with the quarterback.
You admit it. You have started to admit it was a throwaway season for Bill, so he has not been judged yet. It was an asterisk bubble opt-out COVID season.
What last year told me more than Bill for this one season was the reason why McDaniels has failed, Bill O'Brien has failed, Charlie Weiss has failed, Romeo Crennel has failed. Go up and down the list of ex-Patriot guys that tried to bring this to other professional teams. It's failed because it doesn't have the quarterback.
Well, yes,
in
last
one year
yes.
He went to the losingest franchise in the history of professional sports by record, and he wins the effing Super Bowl at 43 years old.
He had a lot of talent. You would admit he went to a great spot.
There were 52 ESPN prognosticators before last season predicting what would happen during the year. Two picked the Bucks to win the Super Bowl.
I mean, the Cavs were a terrible basketball franchise until LeBron took them to a title. So what's the difference? I mean, it only matters the
LeBron
season
was
there,
drafted
which
by
Kyrie was there too, by the way. And Kyrie is still winning this poll, which is stunning.
LeBron was drafted by the Cavs, and in his first time with that club, he never won a championship. He had to leave and make a super team to go to Miami. What are you talking about?
I understand, but
that's a horrible analogy.
Okay, but you're saying it's a bad franchise. Like, that dictates any. That doesn't make Brady's success any
when
more
Tom
memorable.
Brady signed with Tampa, we were mocking the fact that nobody else wanted him. You were
we
doing
were
that
not.
From the top of the mountain.
No, I was not.
You were saying, oh, one other suitor.
I was not. I said he had multiple suitors. I still think he had multiple places he could have gone.
It was a joke. It was a punchline around here that he went to Tampa.
Well, not with me. But I think it's amazing that you're calling Patriots fans who would boo Brady bad fans.
If you boo Tom Brady, just go home. Like, what is wrong with you?
They're upset he's not here anymore, and they blame him for not being here. It could have ended better.
Okay, what was Brady's fault in the end?
He chose to leave.
Why?
He felt disrespected, I mean, for whatever reason.
He wanted a two-year, $50 million contract.
He didn't want to be embarrassed with a bad team.
The best column on this was from Tommy Curran after the Super Bowl, and it said very simply that we, as in me, fans of Brady looked at Tom and said, I can't get enough. Bill Belichick, head of the Patriots, looked at Tom and said, I'm done.
He didn't say that. He would have had him back. He wanted him back. He expected him to come back, and that's why it was such a bad year, and he had to go to Cam late in the summer.
So that summer that you and I were talking about, the summer of 2019,
yeah,
when the house was on the market,
yep,
and we said he's done.
We knew he was going.
So, but Bill
didn't. Bill didn't believe it.
So then
they called his bluff.
So that's Bill's fault.
It's Bill's fault. He should have been better prepared. And then he just said, okay, I can't believe this. We're in trouble.
And he had a great plan, because when Brady left, who was the guy to replace him?
He had no good plan.
He waited until almost July.
But you would admit it's hard to have a good quarterback plan. He had one in Jimmy G.
It is hard to have a good quarterback plan, but it would be good to have a plan.
His plan was...
What's his plan this year?
Sell out. He rebuilt, and now he's back in. And Mac Jones, he's sort of in on. He's kind of half in on.
I thought that was Kraft, though.
Yeah, it was kind of Kraft.
So Bill still doesn't have a plan.
His plan is great defense and a running game, two tight ends.
What's the most important position in all of
sports? Sony Michel is his plan.
What's the most important position in sports?
We're going to hope on Mac Jones. And Jimmy G, I still think, could be his plan long term. Still holding out on the Jimmy G.
How the mighty have fallen.
But the Kyrie equation on this, that people, this poll, I don't know, it's like people that follow me, so they must be bizarre. But 40% of people think Kyrie and his success elsewhere is tougher to take than Brady's success elsewhere? Can you believe that? These are like Wiggies people.
I don't even know what success Kyrie's had.
Okay, but you admit he's had a good year. Well, he's missed a lot of games. But when
I
he's
haven't
played,
watched a single Nets game, but I'm sure he's good.
But the Nets are the favorite. His two games against Boston, he looked incredible. I mean, he really did.
Right. I mean, he wants to put his number in the rafters one day.
And Mookie is a close third in this. So people are still regretting Mookie not being here, despite the Red Sox having a really good start to the year, Verdugo being a good return on that trade. Parts of that prospect pool are still in the minors. And Chara, basically, nobody cares. Nobody's bothered by Chara not being here, which was understandable.
Because I don't think Chara in any way, shape, or form is like a lightning, I don't know, like he's not a guy that there was negative feelings toward.
Well, from Wiggy there were. Again, there's always one example.
Okay, but you can't use Wiggy, who's like a unicorn when it comes to these things.
No, he wasn't a bad guy and he wanted to stay, but there were questions of whether he could play or not. He has proven them wrong that he could play.
Right. That's already for sure. I mean, it's already a bad decision by Sweeney.
Sort of, except he got the young guys to, you know, he cleared the deck for the young guys to play more.
Right, but for what is he getting paid? $500,000? $750K?
I don't even know. No, I think he's gotten over a mil. I think it's not a lot, but still, if he's going to be a factor in the series, that could change. Let's go to Emmett in Springfield. Hi, Emmett.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, how are you?
So good, thank you. One thing I wanted to say was I don't know which one of you guys said it, but someone said it was ridiculous to boo Tom Brady.
That was me.
I mean, I love Tom Brady. I will forever appreciate everything he's done for us. He hugged and shook hands and said, I love you, if they left, Tom and Bill. I'd still boo Tom Brady because I'm a Patriots fan first. So that's my
Thank you.
He won six.
And you're a better Pats fan than Curtis is, that's for sure. On his bad phone, he just dropped. I didn't hang up on him. What's bizarre about that?
Fan,
he's not
Pats
on the team anymore.
First. So to Michael Jordan, the Bulls fans, what are the Bulls without Michael Jordan?
Right now they have
Daniel
Tice
in their history. What are the Bulls without Michael Jordan?
Nothing at all.
Okay. Well, what are the Patriots without Tom Brady?
Phil Jackson. What are the Patriots without Tom Brady? Right now they're Belichick. He's the face of the franchise.
No. What have they accomplished without Tom Brady?
85. Squish the fish.
Okay. So they had the worst loss in Super Bowl history. So that's what
Parcells. Parcells had a respectable 90s run.
Right. They went from nothing.
They didn't go from nothing. You would admit they were relevant in the 90s. Parcells and Bledsoe had them relevant.
Nothing doesn't mean irrelevant. Nothing means accomplishments in the NFL.
Okay. A couple of Super Bowl appearances, but yeah.
Okay. No titles.
No titles.
They had never won 12 games.
Okay.
Brady gets here in 2001 and they win six. They go to nine.
I mean, Belichick drafted him, so at least give him that.
Of course.
If nothing else. By the way, don't you put it at like 48-52 or something?
It's not
When we talk, it feels like it's Brady 98.
Because the notion that you would view Brady as booable in any way, it defies logic.
He left. It happens no matter who you are. If you leave, and particularly with the animosity that's been built up, some people are going to take that badly. And
he was offered $14 million.
Okay, whatever. But he's still, you would admit, he's not exactly taking the high road all the time since he's been in Tampa, as evidenced yet again by Brady Sr. this week, which we started the segment with.
I don't think that my dad reflects me or I reflect my father. Like, if my dad
said let's take Tom himself. He doesn't even say the word Patriots. You've pointed that out. He won't say the word.
Right.
He's holding a grudge, which he said he wouldn't do. This week,
which
on
he said he wouldn't do?
He said he doesn't hold grudges.
Because he reads the four agreements,
yes,
he's not allowed
yes.
to have a grudge.
So he's supposedly, that's him. And now, in the greatest of moments, he's showing that
okay.
he's
and
a liar.
Bill Belichick thinks it's called snap face. Do we think he really thinks it's called snap face?
Good cop.
You won't catch me dead living in the Northeast
And then on
anymore.
His social media this week, he says, oh, it's like your high school friends or meeting your college friends. What a backhanded slap at Patriots Nation. Oh, this was high school. This was when you were a snot-nosed kid. Now you're so mature and educated.
You are the only person that reads those that way. He's
no,
just
Greg
first
Hill,
of all,
Jermaine Wiggins.
It's Ben
both
Rowitz.
Agreed with me on that.
It's his team.
Oh yeah, Tom's not in control of what goes out there.
You think Tom creates those tweets?
I thought Tom was taking calls from his fans. He gave out his number earlier this year.
Right.
Call me.
Do you think he's actually doing that?
Yes, I do.
You
I think
most,
I think his ego is insatiable.
You are the dumbest smart guy I have ever met in my life.
617-779-7937. Joe Beninati, the voice of the Caps at 11. Mutz Preakness picks. Will he be picking Medina Spirit?
Now, he's a smart, dumb guy.
The cheater is in the Preakness today.
That's going to have
spot.
The Bruins tonight. Not only Boston is like this. The city is it's a hockey town right now.
Yeah.
They are ready for a team to go on a run. It's been a while in this city, And you're going to have the nation watching hockey tonight because you have the Preakness is going to be a phenomenal lead-in for that game. It's going to do banana numbers tonight.
Yeah, and the Preakness is at 6:50 post time, so that's right. Like, I mean, they'll go literally right into the pregame show.
Thank you. Last time I was sitting there for like 3 hours because they were like, oh, "We're going to the paddock."
But how
next.
Do you not know that? Have you never watched horse racing pregame? It's literally 6 hours every one of the Triple Crown races.
I must have been drinking in the old ones. I have no idea.
Let's get the trending.
For the guys, Ken and Curtis, the Ken and Curtis Show on EEI.
Both going to want to win the game, but there's one of them that's a highly emotional creature, and that's Tom Brady. Now, Tom's going to go into that game. He's got nothing to prove. He's done everything for that organization, but that's just not the way he thinks. He's going to want to move that Tampa Bay Buccaneer offense up and down the field. He's going to go in there wanting to show them that he's still got it. He's the man and wanting to move that ball up and down the field. Probably wants to score 30 to 40 points on him. So his emotions will be on full display during that week in Foxborough.
Teddy Bruschi telling no lies there. I think we all admit that. This one's, we'll say it means more to Brady, but he'll be more emotional. Nobody will doubt that, right, on the outside. Although, that bulletin board material from Brady Sr., we expect to win handily. That will be played all week by Billy.
A quick question on that, though. So let's say you're Kyle Van Noy, and you're in the locker room in the week leading up to the Bucks game. You think he's really like, yeah, screw Tom Brady Sr., what an a-hole. Like, you know what I mean? I don't think anybody is going to need any added motivation to be ready for that game. Both sides know the importance of it. You're going to have the Bucks young defense rallying around Brady saying, you know, we know how important this is for him. Brady and Bill are not going to say anything that week that's going to be...
It's too late. Brady already said something this week, and that will live. To answer your question, yes, Van Noy will sit there, and that Brady Sr. might as well be Brady. That's the Brady family saying, we expect to dominate. If that doesn't piss you off as a player, I don't know what does, especially a member of the defense.
Kyle Van Noy's been the guy that's been punished himself when he said things that Titans took his bulletin board material. I mean, it's all stupid, in my opinion. It's dumb. But I think that you were reading something from Volan's notebook during the break.
Ben Volan's Sunday notes are out, and he's going to join us at noon, by the way, for the final Ben Volan football hour of the spring.
Good news, Boston. But
a pretty good point he makes.
I agree completely. So in his notes, he was talking about how the national media and the NFL establishment does not have the same feelings about the Patriots as the local media has, because the most important thing that you can look at when it comes to how you are perceived and the team you're expected to have is based on the number of primetime games that you are doled out. The max, I believe, is 5.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bucks and the Chiefs, like in the Patriots forever, always had 5.
Five.
This year they have 3. But as Volan points out, 2 are kind of pity games. 1 is the Thursday night lone primetime game for the Falcons because every team has to play on a Thursday night. And the other is a Monday night game in Buffalo.
Yeah, and the Buffalo game is probably more for the Bills.
Right.
Who were a Final Four team. It is amazing. So what does that say? That says the league and their TV partners don't think the Patriots will be any good or don't think they'll be move the needle captivating even though they'll be a playoff team.
I think that quarterback is everything. And if you don't have one, you just aren't that marketable. I mean, Belichick is obviously a huge name, the greatest coach in the history of the sport, but people don't tune in to see Bill calling defensive plays.
So people don't tune in to see Cam.
No. God,
he is,
no.
He is kind of a star, though. That's the thing. Like, I understand his passing ability is not there, but between Belichick and Cam,
Ken, you
the
just
star
said,
power.
I understand the passing ability isn't there.
We're not going to throw him much this year.
But that's the whole point.
Well, if he's running, you know, RPOs and, read options, I mean, what's the difference?
How many big...
I guess that answers my question. Their offense is not going to be very captivating.
Right.
As we saw last year.
How many big plays did they have offensively that were not gadgets?
Yeah, but they do have a better arsenal. I mean, I could see Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith ripping off 40-yard catches over the middle. I could see Aguilar dropping a couple deep balls.
I could see Cam chucking at people's feet. You know, it's almost as if we've had amnesia. If you polled Patriots fans at the conclusion of last season, when Schefter reported that the Patriots and Cam were expected to go in their separate directions, people here were like, thank Christ. Good. Good riddance. Now he's back with better players around him.
Right.
And there's this feeling that, you know, last year wasn't real. It was COVID. It was...
Well, because week two in Seattle, Cam actually had an exciting offense. You know, they threw for 500 yards.
Right. And so...
350, whatever it was.
Generally speaking, if you're learning something new, you would get better as the season goes on.
We'll go around this again. But the point is, a good one. Right now, the Patriots do not have the national juice. And they put week four Bucks Patriots because they were afraid the Pats are going to suck.
Right.
Later in the year, and they don't know that, but they're not going to take a chance on that.
And that's a solid to craft.
That's kind of a solid to craft, but again, the passing record thing is just, that's a favorite of Tom. That's possibly a historic moment. The historic moments for Brady taking place at Gillette, and the NFL wanted that.
Is passing yards more important than touchdowns?
I'm not asking
that to be a douche.
I think it is. Yes. I mean, God, when Breeze broke it, it seemed like a bigger deal.
No. The guy who's the idiot on Monday Night Football? Joe Tess was taking his pants off.
To the phones we go. It's Ken and Curtis, and we have Joe Beninati, the voice of the Capitals, coming up at 11. Here's Charlie in Boston. Hi, Charlie.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
Pretty good.
So the argument for Brady just being the answer and Belichick being nothing is like garbage. Like the argument's not even close to over because of last year. Like last year was an absolute joke, and to think that Brady is the reason we're all winning. Like, come on. So Brady had two options when he left the Pats. Okay, look at them as cars. Okay, he could drive a beaten up Volkswagen with Bill driving and just ride to the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. or he could choose to take a Lamborghini. Okay, Tampa Bay's a Lamborghini. You got friggin' Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, the two good tight ends, running backs. Like, come on. And who did the Patriots have on their team? They had Edelman.
Whose fault is that, Charlie?
No, I know. I know it's a little conspiracy tin hat thing, but I think Bill's slowly been breaking down the roster to get rid of Brady.
Why would you do that with the greatest to ever play?
Because you're pissed off about Jimmy G. He pushed Jimmy G out of town.
Well, he was right. Jimmy G would have been a disaster.
He could have been. But still, I think, I the relationship's a little bit of a mess, but I still think that, I mean, it's a pretty easy decision for Brady's. And I think this year, now they're both driving Lamborghinis, and you'll see what actually matters. Because this year, the Patriots are a lot better than people think.
Charlie,
you should have seen the face Curtis just made when you called Cam a Lamborghini.
Yeah.
No, I know. Curtis loves to hate Cam.
Yeah, I don't love to hate Cam. He just sucks. Do you think he's good?
Oh, my God. Get out of here.
Charlie, do you think Cam Newton's a good quarterback?
Last year, he sucked.
No, Charlie, today.
He's not going to.
Today, do you think Cam Newton is a good NFL quarterback?
Yep, I'm gonna stick by it. I'm sticking by it. This year, he's going to rip it up.
And it's already over, Charlie, because Brady was 43 last year with a new team, with no offseason. He went
through
Drew
what
Brees,
was. Doesn't matter
Aaron Rodgers, and Patrick Mahomes
it was
to win
a joke
his
of a year.
Seventh
but look at
it
the weapons.
Bowl.
Look at the weapons and the defense. Look at if you're you could put me in there and I could throw to Mike Evans, Chris
Godwin.
So why
weren't they the favorite to win the Super Bowl when he got there?
Because they didn't have Gronk and Antonio Brown to start off
yes,
with.
Yes, they did. Before the season, they were not the favorites to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, because they didn't know what was going to happen. But as you saw it unfold...
What do you mean
again,
they didn't know what was going to happen? I mean, that's the point of prognosticating. You guess based on the team's talent level.
I mean, it makes sense, but I guess I saw it differently. I'm looking at when Brady goes...
No, it's because, Charlie, it's revisionist history by people around here.
Curtis, some people thought Brady would go unbeaten down there. I think Wiggy said that.
Yeah.
Okay, you keep using Wiggy for your example.
Well...
Dude, I'm on Team Wiggy too, man. I'll stick by him. I'll stick by Ken. Like, I just can't... Like, I think that... He again, it's like a race, and you're driving a Lamborghini or a friggin' Volkswagen.
Okay, what is Cam Newton's car? He's a Pinto. Like, we're talking about a Lamborghini.
This year we'll get a better sense, for sure.
So did you just hear Charlie, smart guy,
yeah.
who said that Belichick was slowly removing weapons around Brady with the goal of having Brady leave so he could restart?
No, I don't believe that. But I will say...
But what was the rush to get rid of Tom? I don't understand it.
He didn't want to get rid of Tom. In fact, he thought Brady allowed him to spend less on the offense.
So why wouldn't he give him the extension that he was looking for if he didn't want to get rid of him?
Because it's a money game. There is a salary cap. I know you say cap is crap. They could have paid him.
Well,
whatever,
you agree with me on that.
Well, not really. I mean, Brady never wanted that. He never demanded it. So
and it wasn't even highest paid. When he was looking for 2 years and 50, that would have put him around like 10 or 11th highest paid quarterback.
Again, there was a report from Chris Gasper that they offered him 2 years and 50 the year before.
Right. We have no idea what the guarantees were in that, and that's only been reported by him. Everybody
and
else
then
that's
been on. Then he negotiated the no tag.
But do you agree that there was a desire to be done with Brady by Bill Belichick?
I don't think so. I really don't believe that. Honestly, I'm telling you the truth. I'm not just saying that to be an a-hole. I really think he thought Brady would stick around on lower terms. And God, Kraft wanted that, right? You would admit Kraft was hoping they would work it out.
No, Kraft has been the biggest coward of all of this because he's just, you know, I don't know. Like, when something bad happens with the Patriots, he's Mr. I'm just a fan, ask Bill. But when the team wins, he's right there in the front row holding the Lombardi. I mean, he kind of plays both ways with this.
He does a little bit.
Kraft, come on.
But the fact that...
I mean, the answer is that if Robert Kraft wanted Brady and was going to do whatever it took to keep him, he'd still be here.
Yeah, I kind of believe Belichick was a little bit bothered by Kraft's interference and almost to spite him, not had a bad offense around him, but just was like, okay, Kraft, you know, Robert, you figure out what we do next then. If Brady's not going to come back under what we agree are the financial constraints, we don't spend this much on a quarterback or any position.
But don't you spend your entire life in football to land a guy like Tom Brady? They come around once in a lifetime. What was the rush and the urge to not only not surround him with people, but to take away offensive weapons?
I don't agree with that statement. I don't think that happened. I think they just thought they could get by with, because he was so great, they needed less around him.
Okay, so they didn't need a tight end when Gronk left. No tight end on the roster.
Tight end is a mystery. That is so bizarre. I don't know. That's a good question.
I mean, it's just mind-boggling.
How did Lacoste, like, the what fact was Bill that thinking?
The only way Belichick would have looked okay, in my opinion, is if Brady went to Tampa and was mediocre. Because then it's like 43, he was right. You know, it's better to be done a year early than a year too late. The fact that he played at that level and is still coming back for his second year, it's just, I can't fathom the people that still want to defend Belichick.
We will let you hear from Robert Kraft last night via TMZ. He spoke to the TMZ cameras with a truck in the background, but he had some interesting things to say. That was in Beverly Hills. And then top of the hour, Joe Beninati previews Bruins and Caps. This is Ken and Curtis.
LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Back to more of the Ken and Curtis Show on EEI.
All right, Joe Beninati, the voice of the Capitals, coming up at 11 o'clock. Mutz Preakness picks 11:45. Ben Volen for an hour, noon to 1. It is Ken and Curtis. Robert Kraft audio here in just a second. One other note from Volen that is interesting. I'm glad he did the work. I didn't want to go through all the schedules and find this out. But the Patriots, despite having a good, I would think you would admit it's not the toughest schedule in the world.
No.
Based on opponents. But here's what Volen writes. The Patriots have the worst rest differential schedule in the NFL and play a league-high three teams coming off their byes. The Jets have a bye week 7 going into the game. The Chargers have a bye week 8 going into the Pats game. And the Colts have a bye week 15 going into the game. That's not good news. I mean, no. That matters in the NFL, right?
It does. And don't quote me on this, but I believe that the Bucs had a very similar year last year with that.
Of course.
They did okay.
Thanks for pointing that out. And Volen also writes, this is a playoff or bust for Belichick after spending $175 million guaranteed on 25 free agents. I don't think that's true. If they play Mac Jones and they miss the playoffs, it's not playoff or bust. If he plays Cam all year, yes.
Well, I think the talent on this team at every position except quarterback is playoff caliber.
A receiver, I would say, is a question.
Okay.
Depending on how good Bourne and Aguilar are.
But you're either, if you're viewing Smith and Henry as pass catchers, I think as a unit, it's much better than it's been recently.
Right.
Defense is excellent.
On paper, they look that way, unless this is another Dalius Thomas signing and, you know.
Matthew Judon. Is that what you're concerned about?
Yeah, I mean, he is a concern. He's also, I hate to give Tangway credit, but he pointed out the incident that he had with a reporter in Baltimore, like threatening him over Twitter, over something which seemed minuscule. We talk all the time about how athletes handle life in New England. I think Judon is a guy that might not fit. That's a worry for me.
Yeah, but I still think, despite the Governor Baker ensuing announcement on opening up the state completely by Friday, Memorial Day weekend, which you heard here first, thanks to Greg Hill.
That's not an announcement. That's a Curtis scoop, but yeah, go ahead.
Scooped it from my inbox. And I believe that it will be unlikely for teams starting this fall that they will have the media like it has been in years past, pre-COVID.
Oh, it'll still be Zoom.
I don't know. Teams love it.
Well, I know they love it, but, you know, there are rules, are there not?
Well, I mean, they have to make the players available. Do you think Bill wants to go back to the press conference where anybody can yell?
Of course not.
So, I mean, is Bill powerful within the Patriots organization?
Yeah, but if the league says these are the rules, so you have to let the media in.
But the potential downside of somebody in the media getting somebody sick is not worth the headache.
Well, again, back to the vaccine cards, which you will need. Better get yours laminated. At least you got it. Let's play the Kraft audio before we get the phones. So here's Kraft on TMZ. Not the best quality audio, but it still is, I think, interesting. Robert Kraft asked about...
Spaz was in L.A. and
yeah,
got this.
Here's the audio.
Robert, I know you love Tom Brady. You guys always had a great relationship. He's returning to Foxborough. What are your thoughts on that?
We're excited to have him.
You're excited? I mean,
and, you know, it's a great... He's a great guy, and he did so much for us. I love him.
And the tickets are going for, I heard, like, in the thousands. You know what I mean? Like, to the fans considering on the fence about getting that ticket, what do you say to those people?
Well, we should have a fun night.
Fun night?
But I'm excited for week one when we play Miami.
Miami. Mac Jones. What are your thoughts on Mac Jones?
We're excited to have him, but I'm excited to have Cam Newton, too.
Oh, Cam Newton.
Good to see him, my friend.
Who do you want to see starting? Cam?
I paid Bill a lot of money. Let him decide.
He thinks Belichick's overpaid.
Yeah, how much money does he pay Bill?
More than any quarterback.
You reported $25 million, I think. Excited to have Brady. Does he believe that? Does Robert Kraft really, is he excited to have Brady coming back for this game?
Hell no.
I do kind of think that Kraft, who's had an unbelievable life, obviously, outside of a few incidents, I think he, deep down, do you think he's probably like, I've had a hell of a life. What do I care? So what? We had a great run with Brady. I'm still enjoying life with my current team.
Okay. This ownership group with Jonathan and Robert, I believe that they are as in touch with how they are perceived as any owner in any sport.
They have been this offseason.
And they begin the offseason, the Tuesday or Monday after Brady's 7th Super Bowl win, with this horrible, pathetic stick with us video on Twitter with the Patriots.
I agree with that. But deep down, Kraft loves Brady. You don't deny that, right? I'm sure Kraft still loves the guy.
Kraft is embarrassed that Brady left and won a Super Bowl.
I don't think so. I really don't. I trust him. I believe him when he feels like he owed it to him to let him out of what Brady felt was like hell on earth for whatever reason.
So you believe that in his Brookline house at the Super Bowl, you know, I'm sure they had, you know, a big night, maybe some bugles. They played squares, whatever, all that fun stuff. Post game Yahtzee,
mm-hmm.
And I think they had
card game hearts or spades.
Ooh, I love crazy eights.
Yeah, crazy eights.
You believe he was rooting for the Bucks?
I think he was rooting for Brady. Yeah, I think he does have like a soft spot. And
okay,
I think
we'll disagree on that. Jonathan, who is he rooting for?
See, I think that could be the total opposite. I think he is driving the PR narrative that's going on right now.
Yeah, it's unfathomable to me that you would own this organization and you would allow that to just occur. I don't think it's discussed enough by people in the city. The level of a mistake that they committed.
But some people don't feel that way. Some people feel like it was, they did the best they could and just be happy.
But the Charlies and Bostons of the world called, that was a great call defending Bill with some good points. Those are going to run out because it's going to be clear now in 5 to 10 years that,
if Bill doesn't win, you're going to be right.
Yeah, and they're not.
Okay. Well, 11-5 this year, 11-6. Coming up, Joe Beninati, the voice of the Washington Capitals. We got a preview on the series. And by the way, the news is in from D.C. T.J. Oshie is in the lineup at the skate this morning. So
I know him. He had the big PK in the Olympics.
Oh, he had a huge Olympics, big penalty shot.
Yeah.
He was the one that was the most questionable, and he is a factor. He scored 5 goals in the 8 games against the Bruins this year. But Joe Beninati will talk about Oshie, Ovechkin, Tom Wilson, Chara.
And Tuca's at the grocery store today and then heading down to D.C. tonight.
A little preview of Bees and Caps on the way in, Kenny Curtis.